With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries and to help you with what you should be sowing this season. Later on, I'll be joined by one of the leading figures in the seed business, Commercial Director of DT Brown. It's Tim Jeffries. Tim and his staff put together a seed and plant catalogue which is over 200 pages long. So what he doesn't know about seeds isn't worth knowing. Our thanks to Mr. Fothergill Seeds, sponsors of this podcast. On the news front, I have to tell you that the Garden Relief Day that the horticultural trade holds in March was unbelievably successful again. I think that a charity walk organised by Scottsdale Garden Centre in Cambridge raised thousands of pounds for the Green Fingers campaign, which goes to children's hospices. I understand that you're buying too quite a lot of the daffodil bird feeder, which generates money for Marie Curie Cancer Charity. It looks like a daffodil, but it's made of cast iron and painted yellow, and the flower stands straight up. I'm not too sure about it as a purist, you know. I like my daffodil flowers to be at a 90-degree angle. But nonetheless, it's a good charity. There's plenty of people now apparently getting their bird feeders with that donation. And I've seen this week in the garden my first lily beetle. Lily beetles are bright red. You can't miss them. And they tend, when they emerge in spring, to go straight to fritillaria, the snake's head fritillary. And so I like to keep an eye on those from the next few weeks. And as soon as I see one of those red beetles, if you can cup your hand underneath the plant and just tap it so the beetle drops down into your hand, then dispose it as you think fit. Everyone that is disposed of, shall we say, will save you a lot of aggravation later on. If you're a little bit hesitant and you let the beetle fall, it drops to the ground upside down and it's black underneath and very difficult to see, so do your best to cap your hand underneath. They move, of course, from the fritillaries to lilies, and once they've laid eggs and the eggs hatch, then their larvae absolutely strip the leaves off all kinds of lilies. I've been busy too repotting a number of perennial plants on the back step, and I found that some of the evergreens, the pots are really dry. I mean, if you've got a biggish woody plant in a pot and in breezy weather it blows over, that's a pretty sure sign that the compost has got very dry and very light, and it will need two or three waterings to get it really wet again. Now, I've got a pampas grass, for example, that was absolutely full of root and very dry. Gave that a good soaking and then got my spade out and cut it into three bits. Very good time to split up pampas. The one I've got is not that big growing. It's a variety called Silver Feather with variegated edge to the leaves and quite an attractive thing. And it makes a pretty good container plant, if you like grasses. There's another thing really you need to do if you've got wallflowers or sweet williams or pansies, Brompton stocks, or even spring cabbage, anything that's overwintered. Now is a good time to give that a little bit of fertiliser. Growmore's probably cheapest. Those of you who are of an organic frame of mind would probably use chicken pellets. And the slightly more expensive but easier system is the slow-release granules. If you can just apply a little fertiliser now and then just tickle up the surface, just break the crust and let the air in. Within days, you'll see all of those plants improve with just that little bit of extra fertiliser. I've started to sow too. Where you see the weed seed starting to grow in cultivated ground, then it's usually pretty safe to start sowing the hardy veg. And if you put a few radish in, they germinate very quickly, and if you see them starting to come through, then that's the red light to get cracking on a number of other of the hardier types. Hardy annuals, the cornflower, Gaudetia, Clarkia, Larkspur, all those kinds of things can be sown now, as long with the, most of the hardy veg. And here I'm thinking of round-seeded peas, broad beans certainly, cabbage, cauliflower. You can start to think about sowing leeks. And you certainly need to get the onion sets in if you haven't done that already. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome today the commercial director of DT Brown, Mr. Tim Jeffries. Tim, we've known one another for a bit.
We have indeed, Peter. Been a fair few years in the industry, I think.
But you came from a different industry into the garden business, didn't you?
I did. I come from the food industry, believe it or not. I'm not a trained horticulturist. I just love gardening. But I left university and worked in food marketing and advertising agencies. And then I saw my dream job come up, really, which was a marketing role within a seed company, and was able to take my marketing skills over to gardening, which I've loved basically through the family, always being gardeners.
And you actually worked with David Curley, didn't you, the great plant breeder?
I did. I moved into Unwins in the early 90s, and David was my boss, and I learnt so much from him about horticulture. He says that he learnt about marketing from me, but I don't believe him. I think he knew it already. yes, of course, he was a great man at Unwins, really moved that company forward, but then moved away to set up his own business as a plant breeder. And of course, his first introduction was the wonderful Tumbalina Petunia Priscilla.
Amazing. Yes, still the double fragrant petunia that we measure all others by.
Absolutely. Yep. It was an industry first, and it's still the leader. Many, many years on. It must be 17, 18 years, I would think, Peter.
No, it's more than that. It's over 20 years now.
Oh, yeah. Time is moving too quickly for me.
And me. But what about, what about DT Brown? Because that goes back a good long way, doesn't it?
It does. 1908 is when we can trace DT Brown back to. It was set up by a guy called David Thompson Brown, and it was set up in Pulteney-Fylde up in Lancashire. David Brown was a Scotsman, a canny Scotsman, he's been described as, and he saw a market supplying seeds to the local commercial growers up there. A lot of market gardens in those days around the major cities and conurbations, Liverpool, Manchester, and Pulteney-Fylde was good growing ground, a lot of commercial growers around there, and he supplied seed to them in wholesale. And the business developed from there. He then started to sell further afield with a range of sales reps, and then mail order, I think probably in the 1920s that began. It was a bit hazy, but he was selling direct to home gardeners at that sort of point as well.
Now, you have one hell of a catalogue now, don't you? When the latest one thumped through my letterbox, over 200 pages.
240, I think, as the last count, and growing still, Peter.
How do you cope with all of that, Tim?
Well, it is frightening at times, because within there, we are still concentrated on fruit and veg, but I think there are 900 vegetable seed varieties in there. We also have flower seed varieties, about 400 of those. It takes a fair bit of time to pull the catalogue together, but of course a lot of the varieties run on from year to year, and a lot of the favourites today have been the favourites for the last 50 or 60 years. So, you know, we roll them over in each of the catalogues, and you know, it makes life a little bit easier, but it is a labour of love though.
I mean, if I look at something like carrots.
Yes.
You've got 28 different kinds of carrot.
Yep.
Boy, that must take some coping. And 12 different kinds of F1 sprouts.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our customers are very, very keen vegetable growers. and they will tend to buy every year the ones they've bought forever, but they also like to try something different and grow alongside it and see new ones. So we are constantly trying to bring one or two new varieties in, which often come from commercial horticulture, just to create the choice. But equally, one thing we always try and keep in mind, that every variety must have a reason to be in there. So there's no point in having, you know, five carrots that are exactly the same. Although they, most of them look orange, they tend to be shorter, or they tend to be thinner. And so we go on, Peter, that there's a reason for each of them. So if you've got stony ground or you want to grow in patio pots, there is a carrot for you. And that drives the range as well. Growing your own vegetables is a labour of love. It's great fun as well. Growing something yourself, seeing it from a seedling all the way through to the plate, I think that's the most rewarding thing.
Well, I think if we take something like potatoes, if we'd suggested, 15 or 10 years ago, that you grew potatoes in pots, people would think you were balmy. and now, nearly all the potatoes in domestic situation are grown in pots, aren't they?
Well, they are indeed. And you can get a very, very good crop. You've got to keep the water up, of course, and that's a bit more difficult in pots than perhaps in the open ground. But you can get a good, good crop. And, of course, nothing quite beats a new potato. I think that's one of the flavours that is evocative for most people of good food. And I think that's the one thing. Growing just a few potatoes on the patio is a good thing to do.
Well, and on my heavy clay soil, of course, I don't have slugs in a nice bit of sterile compost in a pot. So at least I get the potatoes, not the slugs.
It's always a battle. That's the thing, isn't it?
and what about this move to container growing of other kinds of vegetables? I mean, in your current catalogue, I see a pea called Half Pint.
Oh, yes, yes. It's an oldish variety, believe it or not, that we've just brought back. But yes, you can even grow peas in patio pots. But equally, there are so many of the veg that you can grow in pots. And I think that's so important today, with certainly with new housing. There's no gardens anymore. Many people have just got a concrete square at the back garden. And you can still grow veg and salads in a few pots by the back door. And I think that's important. And we're constantly looking for varieties like that. And we've seen an upsurge of sales of items that will grow in pots.
Yes, I'm not surprised as gardens shrink. You don't have to dig, do you?
No.
It can just be a raised bench somewhere.
Exactly, and you can just make an entry into growing your own veg. And I think once you've got the bug, you might start looking for an allotment locally. I think that's the thing as well, Peter.
And do you really want me to eat this sun green tomato?
Personally, I wouldn't eat it, Peter, because I'm a great believer.
You're an old square, like
I'm an old square. I believe in red tomatoes, and so does my wife. I struggle getting her to eat Sun Gold, which I think is one of the tastiest tomatoes out. Because it's not quite red, she's not so keen. But we like to offer choice. They're not big sellers, Peter. I'll be honest with you, but there are choice there, and that's why there are so many tomatoes in there. Many of our tomatoes, which are our best sellers today, have been our best sellers for years. But we see it again as one of the things we should do is to introduce new varieties, put them before people, and if they want to grow them, they can. If they don't, we'll take them out of the catalogue as part of that process of keeping it fresh and giving people new things to grow.
Well, I hope you'll keep the tomato country taste in there, because of the big ones, the beefsteak types, I think that country taste tomato is an absolute winner. And I'll be growing it alongside a Gigantomo.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, I have held one that weighed over a kilogram, but I want to see whether I can match that.
Yes.
Why is it we're so competitive, we gardeners?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I think once we get involved in gardening, we do want to grow the biggest or the earliest or the latest or whatever. I think that's just challenging ourselves, I think, as gardeners. I think that's the thing. I mean, clearly, we also sell a lot of varieties which are for the show bench, but I think even if you're not a grower for showing, I think you just like to perhaps grow the biggest or the earliest so that we can say, I like showing off to my neighbours if I can, and I think there's a bit of that about it, Peter.
Well, if I have to mention one cultivar within your catalogues, I have to make mention of cabbage cab ice, don't I? We had that at Chelsea. You flew those cabbages in, I think, from California or somewhere for us.
We did.
And we
all
had
away from California just to get there for May in for Chelsea. Yeah.
We even had members of the royal family tasting them, and it is a remarkable cabbage, isn't it?
It is. It's an absolute cracker. I think we call it the cabbage that thinks it's an iceberg lettuce, because you can shred it into a salad, and it's got such a lovely sweet taste. And I can still picture you at Chelsea cutting it up and offering it to people, and they couldn't get past you at Chelsea without eating some of it, Peter. And I'm very happy that you did that for us. Thank you very much indeed.
No, I don't know how we got that big carving knife in for you on the Monday of the royal visit.
I think you beat security there.
Now, could I also, Tim, just have a quick word about the Sweet Pea Scarlet Tunic?
Mm.
Now, can you tell us the background to that?
Well, Sweet Pea Scarlet Tunic is something we do with Chelsea pensioners, so the Royal Hospital Chelsea. And going back to 2014, we created an association with them to commemorate 100 years since the start of the First War. And we started selling a poppy, which gave 25p from every packet sale to the hospital. We've replaced that now with a sweet pea called Scarlet Tunic to remind us all of the tunics of the Chelsea pensioners, dressed in all in their red down there. Some wonderful boys and girls down there they are. Really good fun. I know that you've met many of them, Peter, and think the same. And this sweet pea is a blend of reds, all Spencer types, and it's a beautiful sweet pea, but the other thing is we give 25p to the Royal Hospital for every packet sold. And with 18 going to be 100 years next year, then we're hoping for good sales as well and give some money to the Chelsea pensioners. We've raised so far well in excess of £50,000 for the hospital.
That's a tremendous sum of money.
Yeah.
I've planted out my scarlet tunic.
Good.
Under a polytunnel at one of the schools, and so we're optimistic that we'll have a few flowers for Chelsea. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yes. And I'm hoping the Chelsea pensioners themselves are growing a few as well to bring along, and hopefully that'll all be there for Chelsea flower show this year.
You
certainly
think
the pensioners will be. I hope they bring some sweet peas with them.
You think there might be a little competition again, eh? You see who's got the best scarlet tunic.
We hope so, Peter, yeah. It's a bit of fun.
Tim, you're right at the sharp edge, knowing what gardeners are doing across the country. How's this season going? How's January and February have been? What do you think of the current unbelievably mild weather in March? And how do you see the future this coming spring?
Well, it's looking good at the moment. As a gardener myself, but also as somebody that's in our industry and supplying gardeners, sales of our packet seeds are incredibly up year on year. Started well in January because it's mild. You hit the nail on the head. If it's mild early, people want to start sowing seeds or at least getting seeds in home because everyone's itching to get going. And that's continued through February and is certainly continuing through March. We're seeing very, very good sales of seeds, but we're also seeing young veg plants as well. Sales.
That's a tremendous development, isn't it? The sale of plants as opposed to seeds of vegetables.
Fantastic. And we're seeing sales increasing at 20% every year for vegetable plants, and also grafted plants growing at 30% a year.
And I think they're amazing increases, aren't they?
They are. And I don't know whether it's convenience for existing gardeners or if it's a nice, safe entry point for people starting to grow for the first time. And that may well be the thing. But it's a bit of confidence. I think sometimes people are a little worried about growing from seeds. But at least if you've got the plants, you can put them in and there they are. And we're hoping that once they do that, they move further down the food chain and really enjoy growing from seed, which I always think is real gardening, seeing seeds grow.
Yeah.
But veg plants, certainly, especially brassicas, we're seeing very, very good growth rates. And you know, to answer your initial question, it's looking very good, a mild spring. I think people are thinking gardening, and they are out there now, and I think it's going to continue pretty good for us all.
Well, I hope it is, Tim. Thank you very much indeed. It's good to chat to you today. Wish you a very successful season, and I'll be out there sowing my seeds this weekend with a bit of luck.
Good on you, Peter. Thank you very much indeed.
You can subscribe to the Sun Gardening newsletter at sungardening.co.uk. And you can subscribe to the podcast by pressing the subscribe button on iTunes. Our thanks again to our sponsors, Mr. Fothergill Seeds. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.